We're back at the Brave Plug, and today we are so excited again.
We're always excited.
Yeah. To be here because we are joined by Crystal and Ratanang. Ladies, thank you so much for coming through. I know today we will be speaking about sharing our brave miracles and our brave testimonies. And so thank you for your vulnerability and thank you for just gracing us with your presence.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, I think to start, we can actually start with each of y'all's testimonies and the journey, what it looked like. So, Auntie Crystal, if we could start with you.
Sure. Okay, mine is a little bit back to front. I know Ratanang is starting off now. Mm. Mine is, or if I can start off with, I can say that Luke and I were married in the year 2000, and I was 29 at the time. So we decided to start a family immediately. The good part, fast forward, in the year 2008, Trinity Hannah John was born. Mm-hmm. And in 2011, Josephine Daniela was born. In between these two, I had lost a male child, and his name was Judah Daniel. I can so fondly remember my doctor doing different tests, and he would say, you know what, let's try again. Your chances of this is going to be extremely high, and the treatment works, and you're going to have a 99.9% success rate. Mm. Guess what? I fell into that sector of the 0.0001. Sure. Yes, I understood I was different. You know, everyone will pray for you. Everyone will say you can do this, that, and the other. Try again. But I knew it was God's plan. And his divine plan and purpose was in fulfilling what he had and promised in my life. Mm. As you can imagine, it can get extremely emotionally draining. And, you know, sometimes you feel it's not just you, it's both you and your husband that has to go through this. So different people, mental states of mind. So you really, really feel the pressure of it. Mm. So I can boldly say that I am a mother of 10. Mm. Yeah, you figured. I've got two girls and I've had 8 miscarriages along the way. So my faith grew stronger every time. It wasn't the easiest. Mm. But God's word to me was always that anyone can make love, but only God can make life. Mm. So if I stop there a little while.
Wow, sure.
Yeah, I think for me, sharing a brave miracle pregnancy or fertility journey involves opening, you know, being open about your personal experiences and challenges that one faced while trying to conceive, which include emotional and physical struggles, prayer requests, treatments, and eventually succeeding. I believe that can serve to inspire, support, and inform other women going through similar situations. Mm. It's not an easy journey, but with God's help, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That is in Philippians 4:13. Mm. And remember, he works all things for our good, and he is with us every step of the way. So my journey started 2018 when I met my husband, and then 2019 when we got married. So 2019, in the same year, he paid lobola in May, and then in November, we got married. It was very quick. And I was still focused on myself, my career, my academics, and all that. I didn't even think about having a child. But the pressure from society, from people, from family, of when are you having a child, even before it became a thing for me, started. Mm. And then there was lockdown. So during lockdown, we were just happy starting to know each other, because then we had no choice.
Yeah.
And then I think during that time, when the lockdown was eased, the restrictions were eased, we went to the office and everyone was pregnant except me. There was tummies everywhere. Yeah. And everyone was like, you missed your chance. And I was still like, I don't think I want to have a baby right now. But then it started becoming a problem. because then I started feeling like maybe there is an issue. Why am I not really worth having a child now, or am I really not ready, you know, for real? Because it has been something that one never really thought about, but it started becoming that thing when you go to bed, it becomes what you think about when you wake up and you know. Then 2021, still there is no baby. 2022, no baby still. And then I think that's when my husband and I were like, okay, maybe let's seek help, medical help. And when we first saw our gynae, he didn't see any problem. And we were all good. We were actually not really that stressed, but, you know, something that you think about. Then 2023, then the real stresses and the pressure started being apparent, and we started asking for prayers and, you know, started weeping at night and really being vulnerable. But I took comfort in the Word of God, where if we can look at Mark 4 verse 39, when there was a storm and Jesus rose and rebuked the storm or the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. So, you know, as a Christian, there is a different way you mourn, or there's a different way you cry, or you go through challenges, because you know that you've got a helper, you've got God on your side. And this scripture allowed me to be vulnerable, because the disciples, when there was a wind, when they felt unsettled, they cried to God, to Jesus, and said, don't you care, you know? So it was me at the time asking God, asking Jesus, don't you care? And he never failed me. He always comforted me. He always said, peace, be still. And that's where I drew my strength. And yeah, I think in a nutshell, that's how the journey went until 2024. When God said, I will open up your womb and I'll bless you with a child.
Sure. Praise God for both of your testimonies. I think every day, I guess, when you look at Trinity and Josephine, and when you look at the new baby coming, or when you feel the new baby, it's like, God, wow, you actually did it. But maybe you can take us through the waiting. Because you've summed it up in a few sentences, but I can imagine how much turmoil must have been there when you were waiting and praying, and sometimes it feels like, but God, are you actually listening to me? So maybe if you can just share a little bit about how was your waiting season, and, you know, how did you make it through?
So faith without works is dead. You have to physically do something in order for your faith to be stirred up, for you to have that sort of, or some sort of calming down, you know, within your own spirit, and make peace with yourself. So what I did as well is, I went back to the doctor, and I picked on the part where he said that it can only happen once, you know. You fell into that sector of it being the 0.01%. And I said, okay, this cost a lot of money. Let me try and try again anyway and see if I can do this. And again, guess what happened? I became a statistic in the hospital, because they said it can only happen to one person once in their lifetime. And it happened to me twice. You can imagine in that time how you feel emotionally, how you feel, you know, you feel like God has let you down. But you hold firm unto his word. My favorite scripture in the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 8. And it says, it is better to take refuge in God than to put your trust in man. And it was one thing that I did. You know, sometimes when you say to other people, people will laugh at you, people will mock you. And say, you know, why don't you do other things, you know, take somebody else, or help another family, or do something out of the ordinary. But because God gave me a word, I clung to that word. And like Hannah in the Bible as well. You know, she never gave up on God. She sat, people thought she was drunk every time she sat at the temple and prayed. And I fasted, I prayed. Even if people call you a holy moly, you know, you just do what works for you to make sure in that time your spirit is stirred up. And 1 Samuel 1 verse 27 as well. For this child I prayed, and the Lord granted me what I prayed for. You know, you look at different verses in the Bible and see what works for you, and you make sure you make it part of your daily walk with God.
It seems as though there are always opportunities in the Word to grasp what you need from God. And that's such a beautiful way that you've placed it, that these were the scriptures that you used to tell God about His Word, but also to calm your spirit or to minister to your spirit as well.
That's beautiful,
And just to add to that, while waiting, it is important to focus on self-care.
Yeah, that's true.
Physical and emotional, and obviously spiritually.
Yes.
So one needs to seek support, you know, connect with supportive friends, family, or a support group who understand or who have been part of your journey or went through what you're going through. Stay informed, research about infertility, research about the situation that you are in, especially if there are any diagnosis done. Know what that means, you know, for yourself, more than depending on what your healthcare provider says. Pray and reflect. Engage in prayer. Meditate, fast. Just seek God in a way in which the Spirit leads. And also, healthy lifestyle. Engage in a lot of hobbies. I love that one. I became obsessed with hobbies.
Okay.
And, what's some of your hobbies?
So anything that includes adrenaline rush, like bungee jumping, swimming with the sharks.
You took an extreme. My hobbies are like cooking,
dog, cleaning the house.
Cooking becomes part of your duties. But pursuing duties, I mean, hobbies and seeking counseling, you know, I think people shy away from therapy and all that. And I think it's important that you engage in such or consider taking a therapy or therapist, you know. And also plan for your future, because your life doesn't end there. It's a journey that you are going through. You are not stuck there. It's a season. So you don't have to just be waiting and doing absolutely nothing. Your life still goes on. So have those dreams. Pursue those dreams while you are in your waiting season, you know. And I think during this season, I literally changed my lifestyle as well. I began to immerse myself in the things of God. I got committed. And I think that was God's plan. That prior to this season or to this journey, yes, I was a spiritual person. I was going to church. I was a Christian. But when the need, when it became apparent that there is an issue, that drew me closer to God. Even my husband, you know, he would not just randomly say, let's pray. But during that period, he was able to say, let's pray. Let's ask for prayers. Let's call this person. Let's do this and that. And which is something that brought us even closer. And also during that time, as I said earlier, that there were people who'd be asking you about when are you having a child. And that opens up a gap for the enemy to come in and whisper all these negative thoughts in your mind. You know, some things that you never thought you would actually go through, or question God's promises, you know, as a child of God, knowing that He will never fail you. I believe that during that season, you need to be strong in prayer. because the enemy becomes so loud in your ears and it causes a lot of frustration. And as I said, that cry, if you have to cry, cry.
Yeah.
God will comfort you, you know. God will come through for you. And I drew strength in a lot of scriptures, one also being Micah 7, verse 7, where it says, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God, for God of my salvation. My God will hear me.
Yeah.
So I knew that God hears me and God will come through for me one day. It's just what you do while you are waiting.
While you wait.
Are you going to sob and feel sorry for yourself and be in a pity party every day, or life goes on?
Or swim with the sharks.
So, yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, I think you touched on it a bit, but maybe Auntie Crystal, if you could speak to it. How did God sustain you during this most challenging time of your journey?
Okay. Some of us are extreme, like she's saying, go diving with the sharks.
Go to the sharks.
But in the early 2000s, I took God at his word. I was extreme. I was radical. Call me what you want.
Yeah.
What I did was I wrote down two names. I wrote down Trinity Hannah John, and I wrote Judah Daniel John. And I started tithing on their behalf. Nothing was happening. No babies are coming forth, or you're having miscarriages and continuing. But year after year, I continued to keep sowing. We used to constantly hear about the power of the seed and how you name it, you water it, you ensure that you don't see the flowers, you don't see the roots, but you keep praying and believing that it is going to come forth. I also remember once that I was in Hyperama, you know, Checkers Hyper at the time, and they were having a special on cots. And I went, before Trinity came home, the house, that room was fully equipped with all the furniture, everything that I need. When I used to go out and buy things, people will ask me, how far pregnant are you? And I'll say, I'm not even pregnant yet. And you can imagine the stares and the eyes and people feeling sorry for me. Like, you know, is this girl a little bit mental or what is she going through right now? But I did it. I believed in the promises of God that even though we don't see it, it is coming. You know, just as much as Noah as well. He knew what the end was, that the storm was coming. He spoke about it. People thought he was crazy. But just do what you keep on needing to do with the know-how that God is definitely going to come through for you. And up to now as well, I make sure. I mean, it's Josephine now, not Judah. But Josephine and Trinity as well, you know, you whether you like it or not, the importance of it, I keep telling them as well, don't neglect it because your seed is in the ground. Make sure you keep it. You know that the calling on your life is so great that you keep on nurturing it and making sure that it comes forth.
Yeah, well, thank you, ladies. I think both of you are a prime example of the goodness of God. So thank you for sharing. I'm sure you've inspired so many out there, you know, in their waiting periods and how God sustains us. So thank you for sharing and for being vulnerable enough. Thank you for being here.
If you can just share.
Sure, awesome.
I went through the, you know, like I said, that during this period, you get to read the word of God, you get to know God for yourself, and you get so much, so many personal experiences that are unique to you and God that you sometimes feel like, is it really God who is, who I can really feel the voice and feel him hugging you and all that. And as I was reading the Bible, I read that there were several women in the Bible who went through challenging fertility journeys and experienced God's grace.
Yeah.
Sarah, Hannah, Rachel, Elizabeth, they all went through their journey. And one can identify with them one way or the other. And God came through for them. And even a lady by the name of Anna, whose husband, who became a widow, and never had a child. she served in the house of God. Mm. Yeah. God still has a plan for you, yes. even if you don't have a child. So you might be going through that season where you are longing for one. But if God doesn't have it in his plans, because everything that happens needs to give him glory.
Yes.
If it's not in his plans, just focus on Anna and see how he served in the house of Lord and was still fulfilled. And also, lastly, you are who God says you are.
Yeah.
Although the journey may be filled with heartache and challenges, trust in God's unwavering support and faithfulness. Difficult times are temporary, and with faith and perseverance, you will eventually experience joy and blessings, just as the night transition into a hopeful new day.
Well, joy definitely does come in the morning.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies, for being brave. Thank you for continuing being brave and how you raise your children and just showing, being living, walking testimonies that God is good.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks.